The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
About the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us that remember that it is the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And when we talk about wealth, we talk about, and we'll look at this word in just a moment, but I want to make sure that everybody understands that there's been a lot of talk and a lot of sermons preached on wealth and giving and, you know, receiving, and that's all part of the power to get wealth. But also we need to recognize that there's more to it than that. We need the whole counsel of God. And sometimes what happens is that people just hear a portion. Maybe they hear one message out of a series, or they just hear a message concerning giving and the power of giving, because the scripture is very clear. Given shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, it will be given unto your bosom. No doubt about that is the word of God. Tithing, very important. Tithing releases your finances and keeps the devourer from devouring your finances. In fact, put those two scriptures up. First, put the one on tithing. Have that one, Malachi 3:10, I'm sorry. There you go. We're to bring it to the storehouse. There may be food in my house, and they may know in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you such a blessing, which will not be room enough to receive it. That is God's promise to us. Now, those things are extremely important when it comes to understanding the power to get wealth, because God has proclaimed and given us instructions on principles and keys that we need in our life to be able to accomplish the things that He wants us to. But remember what the word in Deuteronomy says. The purpose is to establish His covenant that He swore to the fathers, as it is this same day, He's swearing the same thing to us. You see, this was given to the Hebrews. However, we receive the same direction, same blessings, and same power as they did at that time. We, in some ways, we are more blessed than they were, because we have our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day, it was through the law. And it was through the Jewish people that people would come to God to know Him. Today, it's still through a Jew, through Jesus, the Messiah. The only difference is that all people everywhere, all they have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep His commandments, repent and receive Him. We're saved and we're part of the kingdom. He gives us the power to become the children of Almighty God. So as I talk about the power to get wealth, I want everyone to understand that giving is a very important part of this. However, if all we do is use the giving part of the power to get wealth, the wealth, the things that come to us, the money, the possessions, everything that we receive, it will sift through our hands like sand in the ocean. Has anybody ever been to the ocean? You pick up some sand and a wave comes along and wow, it's all gone. It just washes it away. Well, that's what happens. The waves of life, if all you do is use those principles of tithing and giving, because there's so much more to it. Now, I'm not telling you, don't do that. I'm saying do that. That's important. God will bless you for doing that part of it. But as we go through this series of teachings, I want you to see we need the whole counsel of God. So So that when we learn line upon line and precept upon precept, so that in the end, we recognize what God has given us and how He has given us the power to get wealth. Rich man decided that he wanted to take his money with him, so he told his wife, before I die, I want you to take this sack of money up in the attic and hang it up, and when I die, my spirit will pick it up as I go up. Pretty silly, huh? Well, as soon as he died, not long after that, she ran up in the attic to find out if the money was gone. Sure enough, the money was still there. She had a bunch of friends with her, and she turned to them. She said, "I knew I should have put it in the basement." That was bad, wasn't it? Yeah. Yep. But if that's how you love money, that may be where you end up, is down there. Because it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Amen? It's not money. Money is neutral. Currency is a neutral thing. But if we love it so much that we want to take it wherever we go, then we got problems. But you see, there's other things in our lives that we can love that much that gets in the way of our relationship with God. If we replace God with anything, we're in trouble. And in this society, we have a great life. How many of you have a great life? Amen. We do. I mean, you know, it may not be perfect, but praise God. We have all we need to eat for the most part. We can do pretty much what we want to do when we want to do it, most of us. Most of us are not really what you would consider wealthy, but if we talk to most of the world, they think we are wealthy. All people from the United States of America, most of the third world, believes that we are wealthy because of our lifestyle. We live above and beyond most of the world. So we have received some power to get wealth in our society. But I think that we need to recognize that there's more. There's more that we can do. There's more that we need to understand and apply these principles. You know, social programs are an important part of our society. There are people that need support. Now, there's people that need help. They need what we call welfare. They need assistance with housing. They need assistance with food. All those things are good. However, if we're not careful, we will go to a welfare state, which we're rapidly moving in the direction of, where everybody wants a handout. And we forget how to work and achieve. Andrew Carnegie was a millionaire. He made millions of dollars in the steel industry. But he was a philanthropist. He gave millions and millions of dollars away as well. One day, a socialist came into his office and was just giving him the devil because, you know, he should... It was horrible that he had made this much money. Why would he be able to have that? He should distribute his money to everyone else and so that everybody could be on the same level. Well, quickly, he asked his secretary how much money he had and what he was worth, and he sat down. He was a brilliant man, and he calculated the population, and he turned to his secretary, and he said, give this man 16 cents because that would be the portion of my wealth that everyone in the world would receive. 16 cents. You see, that kind of thinking is wrong. God has social programs. If you look in the Bible, He always made sure that the poor was taken care of. He had programs. Giving was an important part of it. They were to give alms to those who were unable to work and make sure that they had enough to live on. Their tithing went to the poor in some cases. In certain years, it all went to the poor and the Levites. They were an agricultural society. So their fields, they were supposed to leave the corners of their fields for the poor and the strangers so that they could come in and get what they needed. Their trees, their fruit trees, they were not allowed to clean their fruit trees completely. How many have picked apples? Yeah, pears or whatever. You ever pick them all? Nah. I don't think so. I don't care how diligent you are. You always miss some. God forbid the people to go back and repick from their trees so that there was some left for anybody who needed it. See, these are the kind of things God builds in to society. So the next time we want to say, I don't like all these social programs, let's be careful. God wants to take care of everybody. Okay, I believe that that's an important part of who we are as the church. We need to make sure that people's needs are met. And here at Bethel Worship Center, we do the very best we can to try to meet the needs of people in our community and our church. If someone has a need, we want to make sure that we do the best to reach out and help them. We all go through tough times at particular times in our lives. Let's be the body that God has called us to. Amen? Amen. So I guess what I want to talk to you or say to you this morning is that my desire is to make sure that you get the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:27 says, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I want to share the whole counsel of God with this congregation, with the people that hear what I have to say. I don't want to just take portions here and there and preach on certain things throughout my ministry. I want the whole counsel of God to come to you. You know, I praise God for those churches that preach salvation. But you know, there are some that's what they preach every Sunday. Salvation, salvation, salvation. And that's awesome. I want people to get saved. But our responsibility is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. There's so much more to it. So when we begin to understand that we have a responsibility, and this power that God has given us to get wealth is to establish His covenant and His kingdom in this earth, then we can get a hold of some things that God wants to do in our lives that are exciting. We can see there that God is leading us on this great adventure, and He wants to prosper you. The Hebrew word here for wealth is more than just finances. It means success. In fact, the New Living Translation says it this way. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant He confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. It's talking about being successful, not just having finances that meet all your needs. Being successful, whatever you put your hands to, prospering. Whatever you do, prosper. Family, prosper. Relationships, prosper. Wherever you go and whatever you do, your ministry to others, your witness will prosper and cause people to come into the kingdom. You see, that's the whole counsel of God when it comes to the power to get wealth or to be successful. All right, the first thing that we're going to talk about this morning is it all belongs to God. How many can say that with me this morning? It all belongs to God. Amen. We must grasp that it's all God's. And yet, sometimes it's really difficult to release everything to God and not to hold on to it as if it's ours. God has everything that we have, God has given to us, and He's given us the freedom to be able to use it. But it all belongs to our Heavenly Father. Psalms 50:10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." Everything's His. Psalms 104, verse 24 says this, "O Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." He possesses it all. And we know in John 1, chapter 1, that it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on to say this, "All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made." So not God the Father, God Jesus. Jesus was the one there making all things. It's all His. So why do we become so possessive and concerned with our stuff? It's a good question, isn't it? I think that we begin, many times we forget that it's really God's. It's all God's. And we got to be real willing and able to just kind of release it to Him. I was listening to Walk FM this week. They were having a fundraiser, and they had testimonies on there. And they had a young couple who they were preparing to move, and they had put all their possessions in a storage unit. And when they went to get their possessions, someone had stolen everything. It was all gone. And you know, he was on the radio saying, you know, it was pretty devastating to have everything gone, but we just had to come to the conclusion that this is all God's. God provided it for us. It's gone now, and God will provide anew for us. It was a great testimony. It was awesome. Lots of people, I'm sure, was touched by it. But it made me think about being able to release things. What would happen if I lost everything? I'd still have the same God. I'd still be the same person. Nothing really would change other than I wouldn't have those possessions. Most important, you know, my most important thing is my family. My relationship with God and in my family. The things, the stuff of this world, let's let it go. Now, I'm not telling you can't have stuff. Let's have some stuff. It's good to have stuff. I like to have stuff. I like to be able to share stuff with others. And I want us to enjoy life. I believe that's what this scripture is telling us, that God desires for His people to enjoy this life, but not get too attached to it. Amen? How many of you watch any of the, go to YouTube and see some of the ministries and the prophecies, end time stuff that's being reported right now? Okay, some of you do. If you're not familiar, on YouTube right now, there's a lot of people that are predicting that the rapture is going to take place in September, October, September. They have, now listen, you listen to these guys, and they have all this worked out. You know, they have a good presentation about the rapture, and they have all the signs in the skies and scripture being fulfilled and all these things. You know, it's awesome. You know, I hope it happens, but I'm not going to count on it. I want you to understand. Because what happens is when we do things, when we say things like that, or we feel like we've gotten this divine revelation from God, and we know when Jesus is coming back, what happens to the body of Christ? We get lethargic, don't we? Oh, well, you know, Jesus is coming in September. Why do I need to do anything? we lose the motivation not only for the kingdom, but for our power to get wealth. We lose the enthusiasm for the kingdom. Now, let me tell you something. If it happens, hallelujah, we will all be glad, won't we? We'll just be praising God together. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be hurt at all, because I'm putting my trust in Almighty God, not on some man's interpretation of Scripture and when the rapture is going to take place. Second coming of Jesus Christ. God made it all. It's all in His hands. And we must be able to release. How many remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? Ananias, the church was just growing leaps and bounds, and people were selling land and homes that they had. I feel like it was probably extra things that they had. They were selling all these things to make sure that people's needs were all being met. They were distributing this stuff throughout the church. It was awesome. Things were happening, and Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of property that they sold. And instead of just saying, well, we want to give a portion of it, they pretended like they were giving all of it. Ananias came into the apostles and he handed the money over. And that was a huge mistake. Because the apostle said to him, you know, this was yours to give as you please, to hold it back or give it. But because of this deception and you've lied to the Holy Spirit, you're going to fall down and die today. And he did. And his wife came in, and the same thing happened to her. It wasn't that God was demanding that they give all their possession. It was that they were deceptive in what they were doing. We need to be careful that we're not deceptive in our giving. That we're not lying to the Holy Spirit. That we're not trying to make other people think that we're doing something great when we're really holding back from God. What has God told you to do? That's what is important. That we're hearing what God is saying. It all belongs to Him anyhow. Second thing, we are His managers. He has delegated responsibility to us. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is a manager. In the biblical times, he was a person that had risen as a servant in a household to handle all the managing of the household for his master. He would handle the finances and the running of the household. Everything was his responsibility. Joseph is a good example of that when he went into Potiphar's house. He was the manager. He had control of everything. But remember, it's still the master's. We're only managing. So we need to keep the right perspective on what we're doing here. We need to understand what God has called us to. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy. For it is He who has given us power to get wealth. That word power means the ability to be successful. So who has the power? We do. You see, that here's what we like to think. Well, God bless me. And then we just go on about our business. Well, that's a good prayer. But there's more to it than that. God has given you the power to get wealth. He has delegated. It started way back in the garden. He delegated responsibility to Adam and Eve. He delegated responsibility to Noah. When Noah came off the boat with the animals. He delegated his responsibility. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Do these things. Be prosperous. God has called us as believers in Jesus Christ to do our work based on the power that God has given us. The power to get wealth or the power to be successful. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So how do you do that? You know what the Word of God says? You get the whole counsel of God for your life so that you can walk in the good things that God has given you on a daily basis, that you grow, you build, line upon line, precept upon precept. We learn the principles of God so that we can be successful in this life. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if this gospel availed, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age had blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Who's blinded? We're not blinded. We have the light. Those who do not know Christ are blind. Therefore, it's our responsibility to rise to positions of authority and responsibility wherever we are in life. To take the authority in our household. To rule and reign as God has called us to. To rise to responsibilities of prominence in our workplace so that we can make a difference. The kingdom of God is dependent on us. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. God is calling us to be good stewards in His kingdom, good managers, to get the whole counsel of God. And we'll talk about these things as we go through this series, how important it is. In Luke chapter 16, there was an unjust steward that Jesus told a parable about. In fact, let's turn to that. Luke chapter 16. We'll begin with the first verse. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his good. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you cannot no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking my stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I've resolved that what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into the house, into their house. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Our lesson here is not that we should be deceptive. The lesson here is that Jesus is saying the world seems to understand some of these principles and operate according to the world's principles better than believers do. Better than believers use godly principles and operate in His kingdom and accomplish the things of God. The reason that we do not rise up to the level that God wants us to is because we're not taking these principles, the power to get wealth, the power to get to be successful, and applying them to our life on a regular basis. If we will see and we will begin to understand and apply these principles that we're going to be talking about, it's part of it's giving. Much of it is faithfulness, honesty, relationships, godliness, character. All these things are a part of understanding God's power that He's given us to get wealth. God has delegated His responsibility to His people here in this earth. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to say to you this morning that we're all going to be wealthy beyond our wildest dreams. I'm trying to tell you that God wants us to have successful families. He wants us to handle our finances properly. He wants this church to prosper. He wants you to prosper. He wants your relationships to be everything that they can be. He wants you to be the best you can be, whatever. There may be one or two sitting in here that have the potential and the desire to be wealthy beyond our imagination. Hallelujah, I hope so. But don't get caught up in that. Words are very clear that if that's our motivation, we're going to get in trouble. If God has given you an opportunity to do those kind of things, do it. But use what you have and allow God to use you where you are planted. It's very important. God has called us to be successful in whatever endeavor He has called us to. And sometimes the kingdom success is not worldly success. The Apostle Paul was very successful. The world would not have thought so. The world would have thought he was a failure. When he was a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or a Pharisee, he was probably very wealthy. He was probably very powerful. He understood the law according to the Jewish teachings, the Pharisee teachings. But when he became a believer in Jesus Christ, his success was multiplied 100,000 times by the power of God. And it became kingdom success. People's lives were touched. He healed the sick. People were delivered. Paul walked in the power of God on a daily basis. That's the kind of success I believe we should be seeking after. But you know, he gave his life in the end. Spent his last few years in, not in an actual prison, but locked down. Unable to come and go as he pleased. Because he chose godly success rather than worldly success. In the late 40s, a man by the name of Clarence Johnson was a very talented man. He had a PhD in agriculture and Greek and Hebrew. And he was a believer in Jesus Christ. And he believed that he probably could have been successful in anything that he desired. But he believed that God was calling him to do something very important. He moved to Georgia. And a little town in Georgia, in the deep south, he established a farm that he called Koinonia for the people in that area, any poor people. Didn't matter what color they were, black, white, Mexican, it didn't matter. Any poor people could come to that farm, have a plot of ground, create a community, and be able to rise above their poverty. It was very successful, and he worked at it for about 14 years. But the townspeople hated him for it. They did everything they could. They boycotted him. They tried to withhold him buying produce and things that he needed for his farm. And this went on for about 14 years. Finally, in 1954, the Ku Klux Klan had enough of Clarence Jordan. And they went to his farm. They burned almost all the houses, everyone except his. And they drove all the people away. One black family stayed with Clarence. Clarence recognized the voices of some of the townspeople. One of them was a reporter from the local paper. Many of them were church people. The next day, that same reporter came out. He said, "I want to do a story on you closing your farm." Clarence was out just hoeing in the field. He didn't say anything. The guy got irate with him and said, "You are closing this place down, aren't you?" Clarence just kept on hoeing. Didn't pay any attention to him. Then he really got upset. He said, "Look, what kind of success do you call this?" Clarence stopped hoeing and he turned around to the man. He looked at him with his penetrating eyes. He said quietly but firmly to him. He said, "About as much success as the cross. Sir, I don't think you understand us. What we are about is not success, but faithfulness. We're staying. Goodbye." Farm is still in operation, as far as I know, today. They stayed. Adversity is a part of the power to get wealth or power to be successful. We're going to encounter adversity. But God has given you and me the power. For us, it's the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us. A power that is so awesome, so incredible, that not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. We really want to see the kingdom of God grow and expand. We really want to be successful. We'll rely on that power. And we'll utilize the Word of God that is given to us, the whole counsel of God, to grow and build and accomplish His kingdom work in this world, in this place, in this church, in your life. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.